The killer stole a wristband for this event. And to make matters worse, I tracked his IP address. It took me to this hate forum. Read the last comment.
I'm gonna kill Gideon Reeves?
My day was going so well.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control. This is another Take 5 episode. And I said last week when Jennifer Kaufman was here that we were going to be doing... we did This Is Us last week, the first 5 of that. This week we're going to do another first 5 with Take 5. And I said at the end of that one we were going to be doing Riverdale with Art Danner and myself. But Art's off at some... I don't know. I think he ended up in a... bad wrestling match with Jughead and Archie. Who knows? So Riverdale will still be happening here on Take 5, but this time around we're going over to Fox and we're talking about the new high-tech police procedural APB. Joining me for the first time, I think the first time on this podcast, is JT from Saskatoon.
It's Saskatoon, Mike. You need to have that looked at.
Something like that. I don't know.
Hi, folks. It's nice to be back for the first time.
Okay, Ed McMahon. All right, so APB premiered on Fox for the 2016-2017 season here. And the first trailer was released last year. Actually, the show premiered 3 days before my birthday this year, so yay. I don't know if it was the actual trailer for the show, but I remember seeing the one of the ads. TV promos. Yeah, one of the ads, one of the shorter ads, and I'm like, ooh, this looks because every new TV season I have to find something because either some other shows have died off or you know. Certain things like that and whatever, so I'm always interested in new shows. And hey, this most people will say that this is just an Iron Man ripoff. It kinda is, but it kinda isn't. You know, I can see people watching the pilot episode of this and saying, "Oh, he's just Iron Man without the suit and blah blah blah, another tech billionaire, blah blah blah." But as as of the recording now, I'm in the middle of the most current episode because I rewatched the first 5. I skipped through 6 and 7. I had already seen 6 and 7, but I skipped through those to get to the most recent episode. But I went back last night and this morning to watch the first 5 again, and I gotta say, Gideon Reeves, one of the main characters, he comes off as, you know, wanting to learn and not just, you know, I think that's great. It's not just him taking over. I mean, yes, he has good ideas. Yes, the rest of the cast members have good ideas. What were your initial impressions after watching the first episode for now? We'll talk about the rest of the stuff later.
Well, I mean, first of all, when I first saw the trailer, I think it was some point last summer, early fall, when like all the 2016-2017 TVC's trailers come out. You know, I saw that and I was just immediately sold on the concept. They didn't specifically say it in the original trailer, but I thought this was like, you know, 10 years in the future. It's the show itself is set in the modern day, and the character of Gideon Reeves is like this even, and I didn't think this was possible, but he's an even more snarky version of Tony Stark than I would have thought possible. You know, he loses his best friend. We got that bit of a Batman origin sort of thing going on, and he wants to he wants to avenge the death of his friend. And I mean, for those that don't know, it's based on a real life businessman in New Orleans who's he's not a mobster, but he runs like a garbage reclamation service. He was dubbed a magnet in such an industry, and he basically created his own private police force to help bolster the NOPD, you know, and this is years after Katrina and everything. I thought that was a really cool hook that this is actually based on real events. But it's just that first trailer with, like, you know, you got the sweet new tech and the new cars and drones, and say what you will politically about drones, I kind of like the concept where you know, they're using modern technology like in a very comic bookish way. This show has a very comic book feel, so I was sold, especially by the last scene in the trailer. Like, we got a spike in the app downloads, and you just see the entire city of Chicago is just all these APP markers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, and guaranteed, if that didn't sell me, the other thing that sold me is that scene where he like shoots the guy with like the Uber taser. He's like, "Don't worry, I pay that guy a lot of money."
You know? Yeah.
So I was sold. And in this first episode, just it is everything that sold me in the trailer was in this first episode, and that's what sold me. You know, yeah. It's got, you know, like I said, I just forgot his name, Justin Kirk. He just immediately, I love the snark, and the Tony Stark comparison is.
It is accurate. Apropos. Yeah, it is accurate. But here's the thing, folks. This is more than just Tony Stark. This is more than just the Tony Stark ripoff. It really is.
Well, it's not a ripoff. I'm just saying, like, the only frame of reference we would have for snarky billionaire, you know, genius playboy philanthropist, you know,
is Tony Stark.
It's Tony Stark. So that's the only frame of reference we have. But I mean, that's encapsulated in that first scene with him, with his oil fire bombing drones.
Oh, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Jericho. You're welcome. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought of.
It's baby Jericho.
Yeah. So
it's a little boom.
Ew. So as of this recording, I'm sure you've seen it, but I just saw the official trailer too for Spider-Man Homecoming, which after seeing the trailer, I thought they really need to call that movie Iron Spider instead of Spider-Man Homecoming, because, Tony's in it throughout the majority of it, or maybe he isn't, I don't know, I just know based on the trailer, Tony's in that movie all the time at this point, because he's training Mr. Spider-Man.
To reference a classic Marvel title, this is more like Marvel Team-Up, which was Marvel's version of the Brave and the Bold, whereas Brave and the Bold comic series, you know, was Batman teaming up with a new hero towards the end of its run. Because, I mean, years before, that's where Justice League and Hawkman got their start in the Silver Age of comics. And this is very much, looking at that trailer, it's very much got this Marvel team-up. I mean, I love the scene of, you know, Spidey webbing the ship together, and then Tony Stark coming in. And my inner child is just clapping like the monkey with brass cymbals. It's just like, yay!
Best line out of that trailer? Just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
I was like, yeah, I know. Me and my inner child, we just kind of, he said the thing.
Justin Kirk, looking through his filmography at this point, the only two things I noticed that I know that he was in, even though I didn't see one of them, we'll talk about that in a minute, but he was the voice of Hal Jordan Green Lantern in Justice League War, which I still have not seen Justice League War yet, so, but, you know,
if you go the Flashpoint Paradox movie, and just as they are released, all the further DC animated movies, it's all one continuity now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, no, he's got a very... he's no Nathan Fillion. I'm sorry. I love his voice work in War, but Nathan Fillion is the superior animated Hal Jordan. Him and Josh Keaton.
Yeah, Josh Keaton, I will agree to. Honestly, I have been over Jesus Jordan for the longest frigging time. I would rather see Kyle Rayner or Jon Stewart or hell even Kilowog in a movie than Hal Jordan at this point. Anyway, you know, I blame Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Well, it's a little unfair to blame the patron saint of Deadpool, because it's not really his fault. I mean, it was the script more than anything. But anyway, I loved him in War. Mike mentioned off-air, folks, that Justin Kirk had a scene in the Ghostbusters.
Fembusters,
from Answer the Call. He was Kristen Wiig's fiancé or boyfriend or something. And he's apparently only... I didn't even know he was in the movie until, you know, I was...
He's cut. He only appears in the extended edition. For TV, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, and the thing is, I'm not speaking for the internet. My opinion is not reflective of any of the opinions of Geekcast Radio Network. I liked it, and that's it. I don't think it's the greatest thing ever. I don't think it's a cultural mine or touchstone. It was okay, but that's all I'm saying.
If you haven't already, listen to this week's Nerd News, and you'll hear Mike and I wax poetic about Ghostbusters and the future of the film franchise, which is about as dead as Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator is. Well, I'm just saying, go listen to Nerd News. This is WeekGeek.net. For television, Justin Kirk was in an episode of The Pretender way back when in 1998. He was on an episode of Special Victims Unit in 2001, CSI. He was John McAllister in an episode of Jack and Bobby in 2005. He was Nathaniel Wolfe in an episode of The Blacklist in 2013, the General Ludd episode. American Dad, he was Axe Jenkins on that. And, of course, APB here. This is my first, seeing Justin Kirk, and I like this guy. I think this guy is cool. I don't think it's just the fact of him being, Gideon Reeves. I just think that, overall, I want to see him do more stuff.
He's got, like Tony Stark, like our Robert Downey Jr., he's just got this, presence. He's got this gregarious nature. He's got this energy that you just kind of draws you in a little bit, which is why I agree. I love his performance as Gideon in APB. It's a lot of fun. I do like his co-star. I completely forgot where I first saw her. Natalie Martinez as Detective Murphy.
She was another one of those ones, and I'm sorry to cut you off. She's another one of those ones that I thought I've seen her other places. Her movies, she started with Death Race in 2008, Magic City Memoirs in 2011, The Baytown Outlaws in 2012, End of Watch, she was Gabby Zavalia in End of Watch from 2012, Broken City in 2013, TV stuff, she was on CSI NY, she was on Secrets and Lies, she was on Kingdom, and of course, everyone's least favorite television series, From Dusk Till Dawn, the series.
And by everyone, he means himself, folks.
Oh, everyone in this podcast, anyway.
Now, don't speak for me, Mike. I love that show. And the one thing, just looking at her wiki, it says she was cast as a major character in Chuck and actually appears in some promotional photos for the first season, but she was cut before the series airs. I was like, aww. I think she would have been great in that show. And she was also in, Under the Dome, which I love that show in the first season. And as like, you got me again, Stephen King. And I don't actually blame Stephen King, because it's not like he wrote every episode of that show. He wrote the original book, and he's nothing if not franchise happy when it comes to his properties like that. But she was in that show. She was a major character. And then the show just, hey, aliens, and we gotta have sex to propagate the species, and oh, thank God that show is canceled. But yeah, my favorite cast member, and this goes back to my childhood, Abraham goddamn Ben Ruby, Kubiak from Parker Lewis Cat Lewis, represents. Oh yeah, and he was Jerry on ER, but it's fucking Kube, man. I love this man. He has not done one wrong. I'm not saying he hasn't, actually. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yep.
This dude was the shit. Mm-hmm. And I literally clapped my hands and thrust a double fist salute into the air. The first episode he showed up as Pete.
Yeah.
Former pro wrestler, the Blockhead.
The Blockhead, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the Block Party. I was just like, yay!
Yep. Housing fits great back here.
Well, the housing was never the issue. It just needs to deploy cleanly.
All right. Okay, I can't get the angle.
So this is why you ran off in such a hurry last night?
Yeah, pretty much. I had the basic vehicle, but just making a few modifications as I went over the design parameters that you laid out last night.
Design parameters? I'm sorry, am I missing something?
Your lecture on the finer points of car chases and your son's ideas about motorcycles. These bikes ought to take care of our alley and pedestrian problems.
Your I was out on the streets all morning asking around about Baxter. Word is, he gets off on us chasing him. He wants to make another score. Think these are going to be ready in time?
You want in?
What? Excuse me?
Ada told me upstairs what you're working on. The bikes. And Goss were riding them.
I told him he can't just walk his ass up in here and interrupt.
I rode with the Rangers. Goss was detailed to the motorcycle unit before she was assigned here. Whatever we got to do, we'll do it. That bastard almost killed Zingo.
Yes, and a little girl.
Yeah, and a little girl. So if there's a slim chance in hell of catching this guy with some new thing that you got, I'm first in line.
Oh, looks like we got our riders.
I'm sorry, and then I think the guy that everyone... Well, first of all, there's this one of the actors, I just got to look up his neighbor, William Smiley. He plays Cobb, one of the many police officers in the 13th Priest District.
Yeah.
I swear, every time I see him, just for a second, I think that's John DiMaggio.
Really? I was thinking more of Seamus.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just... I think he just kind of looks like John DiMaggio a lot. It's I thought of the same guy that sing of the guy that plays Abraham on Walking Dead. You know, it's just he kind of looks like John DiMaggio. It's like, sweet, Bender's a cop. This is going to be fun. But yeah. I think the biggest name, or actually, you should tell him about the guy who plays.
Oh yeah. Brandt. Oh yeah, Officer Brandt. Now I did not. Here's the thing, folks. What I've been trying to do with the remote control take fives is just watch the television show and not really notice. Like, obviously the cast names are going to come up in the credits and things like that, but I don't really pay too much attention to them until afterwards. And I did not the whole time, even through the current episode, because right now I think it's up to 8 episodes of the series at this point, but throughout the whole first 5, 6, and 7, I was like, Officer Brandt, where have I seen that face before? I know I've seen that where? And as soon as we get on to record this episode here on Skype, I look up Taylor Hanley is the actor's name, and he was friggin' Rory Buck in Jack Frost. He was the bully in Jack Frost. I'm like, wow, that kid grew up fast.
Yeah, because, I mean, I hadn't looked up... I looked up, like, Justin Kirk and Natalie Martinez, like, their IMDb, their filmography. And I hadn't looked up Brandon Mike. Like, my jaw hit the floor, folks. It's like, holy shit, because it's been bothering me the entire time I've been watching this show that it's like, I know this guy from somewhere, but I'm human and I'm lazy and I tend not to look into things.
Yes.
So
the other main one that we have to bring up, because we would be remiss if we brought up Ghostbusters, we can't bring up this guy. Because, I mean, hello, it's Winston Zeddemore as Captain Conrad. It's Ernie Hudson. Yes.
As long as there's steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say. That, if anything, is like my second favorite line in Ghostbusters 1984. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Ernie Hudson, like, a lot of guys take roles at, like, as long as the careers he's had, a lot of guys tend to take roles at, let's say, quote unquote, at this point. They take roles just to get some work. It's a paycheck, whatever. I don't think that about his performance here, because Ernie Hudson, he's been around the block a couple of times. He's seen some shit, which plays into his role as Captain Conrad.
Yeah.
I just love how he's just kind of, he can't quite deal with all the changes. Like the whole line, we got a new goddamn coffee machine costs more than I make. You know, it's a very subtle, you know, Danny Glover, I'm too old for this shit sort of. Yeah. Sense that he's playing in this, but I love it. He plays it with just, it's Ernie goddamn Hudson. I love this man.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is so, so awesome.
And the only other guy that I remember is there's Nestor Serrano as Maris Salgado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was one of the other detectives in Bad Boys. He was in Lethal Weapon 2. He was on The Last Ship. It's done a lot of TV series. It's in Banshee, which is a badass show off of Cinemax. I highly recommend it. Apparently, he was on Graceland and Revenge, a couple of shows. I don't know if you've come up on those in remote control?
Mm-mm, no.
Or I know you were watching Revenge at one point.
At one point, I'd watched the finale and I was done.
Yeah, and then the one thing I remember of him, because as soon as I saw him in the show as the mayor, I was like, hey, he's that techie guy from like the first. He was the guy that gave the polygraph to Ichabod Crane in the first episode of Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like Miguel Ferrer, God rest his soul. One of those guys, you see him and you might not know his name, but you know that face because this dude is a workhorse in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Getting into the episodes, episode one, some of my notes. Oh, look, Rhodey got killed.
Just what if, like,
what if Iron Man had a bad day? He's gonna buy a police force.
Yeah. See, if he hadn't stopped for that goddamn cigarette, his best friend would still be alive.
Yeah, well, we needed a plot somewhere.
Well, as much as Gideon is got like the whole Tony Stark thing, his whole origin, shall we say, is straight out of the Peter Parker Uncle Ben playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden we got this, it's not exactly that, but all of a sudden we got this whole great power, great responsibility shtick going on. But yeah, it's like we said, in the first episode starts, folks, with Gideon making this tech demo for these new drones he's developed that'll get in to cap oil well fires by detonating a charge, which is how they actually do it in real life. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, up until this point, I thought this was like 10, 15 years in the future. No, it's set in like today. Modern day,
yeah,
2017.
Yep.
And that's where I was like, oh, wow, they're just straight up doing it's okay. That's okay. It's modern day. Cool. Let's go. And yeah, so he has this demo and they're making billions of dollars because you see his best friend who I thought he was a bodyguard in the trailer, but he's more like a CFO in the show. And yeah, so Gideon's kind of like, dude, you got to watch this shit. You know, you're going off script. And then Gideon's like, I need a cigarette. So he literally goes in. This is the most Tony Stark thing that I've seen thus far. Is he goes in, he buys a pack of Marlboros, takes one, gives the rest of the pack to the guy, buys a lighter, and then, you know, the
robbers come in and try to steal the money and blah, blah, blah. He tries to stop them, and he says, here's my wallet. It's got about $1,000 in it. And he's like, and the guy looks at one of the magazine covers and he's like, oh, you're probably worth more than $1,000.
All of a sudden he's a kidnapper and a ransomer, and then his friend tackles him and he gets shot.
Yep.
And like,
where the hell are you people?
Yeah, that was 911. And that's the, as much as the tech aspect of him like upgrading a police department, the one of the best hooks for this series overall is the fact that the frustration of people who need help, that need justice, and the police force is, you know, I'm 5 days from retirement and we don't have enough money. And it's just, and it's a sad fact of life. A lot of police stations and districts all over the country, both in Canada and the United States, are sometimes very underfunded and undermanned.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gideon gets in his head after, you know, not getting the proper, at least what he feels is the proper service and respect, you know, because my friend just died in my arms, asshole. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the mayor. And I love that whole scene. Again, this is another great Tony Starkism where he shames / blackmails / cons his way into taking control of the 13th district. He's like, yeah, you can. You can give me permission. Oh, and you don't mind. I called the news. They're waiting outside. I'm going to have a little press conference when we're done. And you see the city council instead of the mayor is just staring knives into his soul at this point.
Yep.
And that's the great thing about Justin Kirk's performances. Is like he balances the drama and the snark very well, at least I think.
Yeah, he does. Very much so. Absolutely.
And I love Murphy, like Natalie Martinez, like the woman, she is a beautiful woman, but something about just the way she looks is like, you're adorable.
The way she looks and her voice. Oh my God. Love that voice.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Like she's
that almost put me over the edge, just like my Black Cat obsession.
Yeah. And Mike's just like, oh God, who do I like? The good girls? It's like, well, look, Black Cat has leather. She's got handcuffs. Anyway, but no, he meets Murphy, and when he takes over the district, and you see kind of beforehand just how everyone's, they've got like old school typewriters and fax machines, and I love the comedy of we have in the first episode, just the pilot episode, we have Kevin Chapman, who was Fusco in Person of Interest.
Yeah, I noticed. Fusco. I noticed him. I was like, "Hey, what's Fusco doing here?"
He's like, "Well, I guess he got a transfer." I have not seen the end of Person of Interest yet, so don't spoil it for me. But yeah,
how far did you get in that show?
I got into like the first five episodes of the final season, so I haven't seen the back half of season five.
You'll have to see the back half of season five.
I was there from day one, watching Jesus and Ben Linus fight crime with the help of the Matrix. But anyway, Captain Fusco is how I'm going to refer to him. He's overseeing like this takeover upgrade, and just the look of befuddlement on him and Conrad's face as they're taking out the fax machines and putting all these new like Skype style video phones, and they got like the cafe press over here for espresso, and like that whole scene where they have like the meeting where Gideon introduces himself, and he introduces the APB app, which is basically, it's like the bastard love child of Twitter and Skype. And you can report any crime, like send a text, and you know the cops will show up toot sweet. I don't know how well something like that would work in reality, because I'm fairly certain if cell phone networks would crash. You know. And especially if drunken frat boys get a hold of it, because they're just going to sit, like, take pictures of some frat brother streaking on a campus and just flood the database with that. But he also, like I said before talking about the trailer, like, one of my favorite scenes is where, okay, Mike, you know, if you want to come at me, he's like, okay, so this guy gets up, one of Gideon's people gets up, pulls a knife out, and Gideon's, like, showing him the new side guns, which I thought were just tasers. They're actually handguns that they have. But they've got a taser built into it. It's not a separate thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's like, boom. Yeah, don't worry. I pay that guy a lot of money to get shot. And then there's a guy further back. But what about a distance? And this thing's got, like, at least a 20-foot draw on this other guy at the end of the room. And I love how the guy just, like, oh, God, this is going to hurt.
Yep. Well, okay, so I'm going to say this now because I was not sure, and I have a note about this later in one of the other episodes. You're right. The new guns, I thought they were just tasers, because most of the episodes up until the fourth and fifth episode, the way that they portray them is that they are just tasers. In the fourth and fifth episode, they mention, you know, turn your, you know, is it the fourth episode or the fifth episode? I forget where, I think it's the fifth one. Where she has to shoot the guy through the wall.
Yeah, Murphy shoots a guy. That's
right.
Right,
and it's
the fourth episode, Signal Loss.
Yeah. It's the fourth episode where she has to shoot the guy through the wall, and she says, "I don't know if I could do this." And he's, you know, Gideon's like, "Just turn your gun to lethal," and because I was not sure, because originally when I first saw the guns. The first thing I thought of was the Lawgivers. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, it does. I would say it kind of errs more to RoboCop's firearm, because it's got like a huge build. But yeah, it's got adjustable ammo. It's got the taser built in, so it's kind of the design looks like Robo's sidearm, but the function is very much, you know, I am the law, you know, the Lawgiver. And I love the new cars. Like, everyone's like talking shit about like the new body armor and the new uniforms, and then you just see these sweet new pimped out caddies roll off the truck, and they're like, "Okay, I'm on."
Yep. Like, and then in episode two, we have what I love about this show. I'll say this now, and I'll probably say it again before we close this podcast out later. But it's one of those things where what I love about each episode is that Gideon is taking a classic, you know, a form of police work that has been known for years, decades upon decades upon decades, and he's taking technology to it. In the first episode, they unveil the body armor, the cars, all the stuff. He unveils the first generation of the drone, and then later he unveils an upgraded version, which I love the upgraded versions of the drones. And in the second episode, they start with the police dog, with Zingo and Brandt, and poor Zingo gets hurt. Yeah. And then, well, at first, poor Zingo gets hurt. And at this point, when Zingo gets hurt, they don't know what they're going to do with him, things like that. And the vet guy is like, maybe you should think about put. And Brandt's like, don't you even finish that sentence. And then Murphy, the character, Teresa Murphy, played by Natalie Martinez, is going and showing Gideon why they can't do certain things, and then she takes him home to meet her mom and her son, and the son gives him an idea about motorcycles. And you know what the first thing that reminded me of these bikes, the first thing I thought of?
What's that, Mike?
Torque from 2004, the very end, the very last bike, the super bike. At the end of Torque.
Oh, God, I could see that now. That never even occurred to me.
Uh-huh.
One thing I love, going from the first episode to the second, like, I love the setup, like, where they have an accident on Gideon's first day where one of the officers is shot and injured,
mm-hmm.
and the mayor pulls him aside. He's like, I'm going to shut you down. You've embarrassed. Like, he's not even really doing it as a, this is the proper thing to do. Like, he's 90% of that he's coming after Gideon because Gideon embarrassed him. And throughout that first episode, like, I love Brandt. Officer Brandt is one of my favorite cops in the show, but he was just coming out as just complete and total prick in the first episode, and then you see he's actually human when Zingo gets injured, because I was like, right away, I was like, my heart was going out to Zingo because he looks like a good dog. Who's a good dog? And then Brandt, just the look of joy in his face, where it's like Zingo comes in the end and now he's a cyber dog, like he's got the T-800 mm-hmm. leg going on there. That was awesome. But yeah, I love that. And also, like I said, this is the first episode to introduce the Gideon's head tech Pete, played by Abraham goddamn mm-hmm. Ben Ruby. And I love that scene where they're trying to fix stuff and they're trying to put the spike strip ejector in the back of the bike, and just to illustrate that this guy, again, was a pro wrestler and he's a complete and total badass, he just lifts up the bike. He's like, would you want to hurry up? This thing is kind of heavy.
Yeah, I love the scene where Brandt's like, have I seen you somewhere before? And we're going to cut to that audio right now.
We enhanced the torque on the engine, so when you guys accelerate, you're going to want to hang on.
Enhance? How much we talking?
Got about 350 foot-pounds. 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, you're basically going to be the fastest things on the road.
Right. So, what happens when we catch up to the guy?
The idea is to deploy a spike strip. That's what I'm working on right now.
Hey, I know this may sound weird, but, have I seen you before?
Follow wrestling?
Holy hell. You're Blockhead.
I'm sorry, who?
The only pro wrestler to get the U.S. Intercontinental and the tag team belt at the same time.
Ugh. Welcome to the block party.
Yeah.
After a career breaking chairs over people's heads, Pete got a PhD in electrical engineering from Georgia Tech. Came to work for me.
You okay?
Yeah. Just working out the kinks.
Well, there we go. All right, so yeah. Pete is awesome. I love Pete every time. And this is the cool thing about Gideon, Ada, his tech girly there, Pete, almost everybody that they've introduced to us in these first episodes on Gideon's side of things, they're all really cool people. So are the cops too. I'm not saying the cops aren't. I'm just saying that each of these people that Gideon has under him, with the exception of someone that gets introduced later, who I cannot stand, we will talk about her at the end of the show. Yeah, she just needs to go the hell away. But absolutely love Pete. I think it's great. By the time episode 2 kind of ends, and I'm really hating Scott. Scott can go jump off a bridge.
Who's Scott, Mike?
Murphy's ex.
Oh, remember? You mean the... Yeah, no, I know. That was sarcasm. Yeah, at the end of the... He's introduced in the first, like, warning Murphy off of working with Gideon, and then it kind of turns out he's... I don't know if he's, like, a state's attorney or he's a lawyer or something, but
The AUSA or the state's... He's something. I forget.
Assistant state's attorney,
That's what it is. ASA, yeah, that's what it is.
And he's heading up the Mara's task force to take down Gideon. And he's literally, like, warning her off, and they kind of play it off in the first episode and the second, like, I don't know if they're actually going, this is my theory, just the actor's performance who plays Scott is, he's coming off as almost psychotic, like, he's unhinged a little bit, like, he's, like, he wants her back, he doesn't want her being a cop, and... You know, and I'm coming after.
No, Gideon, I don't think he minds her being a cop. He doesn't want her being a cop in the 13th district. Because he gets her transfer papers and things like that and whatever else.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he has it but out for Gideon, essentially. Because he thinks, even though it's not true, he thinks that she has some sort of crush on Gideon. And it's the way I look at Gideon and Teresa is they are more best friends, they are more confidants than anything else, because they're learning from each other. She's learning from him, and he's learning police stuff from her.
Yeah, he's learning how to be a real person.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a couple of shots where Gideon's looking at Martinez there. God damn it, Murphy! You've got me doing that now. Where I think they hint at that, you know, Gideon's got some feelings for Murphy, like, beyond being a cop and all that. And that's great. And I love the scene in the second episode, like you said, where he has dinner at Murphy's place. And after he leaves her, you know, Murphy's mom is just like, huh? 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 Like, do I have to point a map out to you? You know, but yeah, no, and I love that Scott, like I said, he's trying to get Warren Murphy, like, get the hell out now. Everyone's going to go down with this guy. I do love how that, such a dick.
Yeah, I don't really care for that character at all.
And it kind of, by through the third and the fourth episodes, it's a very brief arc of the investigation. I'm not saying it's done, though.
Yeah, no. Okay, so by the third and fourth episode, Reyes is back. Reyes was the rookie cop that got shot in the first episode, so he's back. And they, you know, Scott's like, well, let's go back to the crime scene, walk me through it, blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to really, really, you know, set Gideon up through Reyes and things like that.
He's constructing the narrative that he wants to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like and we get a little more into Murphy's background in the third episode, Hate of Comrades, where her old SO, who was working as a security guard, uses the app. He's working as a security guard at a diamond mart, and he's killed by these thieves. And you see Murphy kind of go off, not the deep end, but she's way personally involved in this. And I love how Gideon invents a lie detector chair.
Well, it's not really...
It's not exactly what it is, but that's basically what it is. Like, he literally takes it's a prototype for testing the stress levels and the health of astronauts, and he takes this tech builds it into, like, an office chair that they have in the interrogation room to, like,
and then they trick out the interrogation room with a wall of monitors. That was awesome. I love that.
Like, so you guys get ESPN on this thing? You know, and they have, like, they're trying to track these diamond mark thieves. They rob an armored truck, and we also get a little background into Ada in this episode, where she's having a hard time keeping up with the twists and turns in this case, and she goes to this old hacker collective friend of hers who helps her out in tracking the thing, and then she trips the bomb. Like, she gets the cell phone number because they've got a what's called a breaching panel lined with, like, enough C4 to the shockwave from the explosion isn't just gonna, like, knock a hole in the side of an armored truck, it's gonna, like, kill everyone inside.
It's gonna take a whole city block, essentially, is what they say. And she gets her hacker buddy, who she now owes two favors to at this point in the series, to dial the number, and he dials it, and it explodes the van before it can get onto the armored truck. I like Ada's storyline because I wasn't sure how much of a background or a foreground character she was going to be. So I like that. I think that's interesting and fun, and I think the best part of that is when she was taunting the guy in the store, and she basically got him to attack her so she could use the APB app. I think that was really, really cool.
I was just going to say that one of the undercurrents in a lot of these episodes in regards to Ada and Gideon is sometimes you're too smart. Like, they let the intelligence kind of run away with them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you have how Gideon gets, like, way overexcited. It's like, no, I can fix this. And then you have, like, Ada with, you know, taking that beating to use the APB app to, you know, get that dad arrested, or using her hacker friend to stop these guys. And then they have, I think, the next episode where she's, it was that episode where she gets beat by the dad. Like, she just, because of her experiences, because she doesn't have a very pleasant history, we find out, she just sees this one path, and they both get this tunnel vision thing, which could potentially lead to some problems down the road, especially with Ada, because she kind of is an accessory to murder at this point because of these robbers in the episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get signal loss, and this is one we were talking about just a few minutes ago with where Brandt goes undercover to bust a illegal weapons dealer, and Gideon creates the spy jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And then Brandt's like, can I keep this? He's like, do you have $5 million? And
yeah, like, no, that's a $2 million jacket. Yeah, no.
Oh, $2 million, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is also the one you're talking about where he's trying to railroad Reyes, is what I wanted to say before, in constructing this narrative. And you just kind of look at this idea of defeat on Scott's face when Reyes, he doesn't recant what he says, but he's like, look, I was not in the right. This is what happened. I did not give you the proper information in his statement. And Scott, are you sure? Are you sure? You better be sure. Please tell me you're not sure. You know? And then they have that meeting at the end where Gideon is like,
gives him the speech.
He's like, I'm sorry. Could you tell me what the result of this investigation was? No, you can't charge us with anything. Okay, well, how about we just step outside and you give your full and total support to me in the 13th precinct? I got the press.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That was the first meeting, and then the second part of Gideon's thing in this episode was the speech at the end when they caught the guy. Episode 4 was great.
Episode 5 was I like the hook of this. A guy who knows of Gideon, because he's also super smart, he went to MIT, he basically gets himself arrested by destroying an ATM.
Not just destroying, like, it, he shoots it.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
he shot the ATM.
He gets himself arrested, and it's just because he heard what Gideon's doing with the 13th. Is like, look, I need your help. His daughter's been kidnapped or harmed by this new drug, and I think this is the one where Scott, where they have at the end where they have like the whole thing. It's like, I'm sorry, what did your investigation turn up? Jack shit? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But we have that. Honestly, the fifth one, I'm not saying it was weak, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the first four. It's just, you know, it's there. It's just about there, you know, just a little bit.
I like the fifth one, but I like the beginning of it, because the beginning of it is, I thought, was very interesting, and it has the trace powder part of the technology thing where they start up with the augmented reality glasses. I thought that was cool. And then they change the augmented reality glasses to use as lighters when they can't see in the warehouse and they can't use a flashlight, because it'll alert the people that's in there. So then they change that, and I just love how this show constantly evolves the technology, and it makes the police force better for it, I think.
Yeah. Because God damn, I love this show. And one of the best things, I wanted to mention this at the beginning, I kind of forgot to. One of the writers, producers on this is Matt Nix, who was a creator and writer of Burn Notice, one of my all-time favorite TV series has ever come out of the USA Network. But yeah, I love, like, Above and Beyond is the fifth episode, and just look at it, because I recognize the actor that played the dad. I'm just going to look that up here, because... Yeah. It's killing. It's kind of like.
It's John Hurd.
No, that's the sixth episode.
Oh, it's Daddy's Home. Yeah.
You mean
the little girl's. You mean the daughter's father. Yeah. I don't remember who that was off the top of my head.
And it's not on the dad, Gideon's Tech Dad. Okay, the dad. For some. You failed me again, IMDb, because the dad is not listed on. The episode notes here. Okay. Anyway, I recognize the dad. I'm sure I'll find it later. But yeah, it's the father in this episode. Like you said, he goes after his daughter because she was, I don't think, mangled is not the word I want to use. But somehow
she was screwed up from the drugs.
Exactly. And then, I love the whole. It's bothering me that I can't remember that guy's name. Sorry, I'm derailing everything. I'm just looking at the plot summary here because there was a thing I wanted to mention. New drug, da da da.
The plane's coming for you, dude. Hurry up.
Yeah. Anyway, I should have done better notes on this. But yeah, like I said, the fifth episode, I enjoyed it. But not as much as like the previous four, which is to say nothing about the following episode, which brings back Papa McAllister, John Hurd from Home Alone, as Gideon's dad, who, as Gideon is like book smart and a technical genius savant.
His dad's Papa a con Gideon, man. Yeah.
Papa Reeves is like, this dude will sell ice to Eskimos and ask to borrow a cup of sugar. Like, this dude is slicker than slick.
Yep. So, overall, the first five episodes, I think they were great. As I said before, each of the episodes adds something to the police force, and each of the episodes teaches Gideon a lesson. The second episode was more about, you know, caring about people and what happens to people because of the little girl in the park. By the fourth and fifth episode, it was the guy with the daughter that got strung out on the drugs, but it wasn't her fault. And the pilot episode was just him trying to learn the whole police business type thing. So absolutely loving the show. We'll most definitely continue doing, at least watching, we may come back and do a season pass on this. I don't know. It's down the line, because I don't even know. Right now, according to Wikipedia, it has 10 episodes, but I don't know what the actual season order was. It might only be 10. I'm not sure.
I think it was 13, because generally mid-season shows like this generally get at least a 13-episode order. It depends on the ratings, and that was the one thing I was worried about with the first couple episodes, because the pilot did great. The second and third episodes did okay. And immediately there was talk of it's on the bubble and it's not going to get renewed. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
I hope it gets renewed because I love this show.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. And like Mike had mentioned a little bit ago, in the seventh episode, we get a Fox alum.
Yeah. But this is only the first five, dude.
Yeah.
Only the first.
I'm just saying there's a alum of a long run. There is an alumnus of a long-running Fox TV series that shows up in the seventh episode as a recurring character in the show that, if Mike's tone is believed, he's not a fan.
No, not at all. She can go to... Okay, so, yeah, I'm not a fan of the character. The actress, fine, but the character that she plays, oh, hell no, because she's just nothing but a money-grubbing bitch. That's all she is.
Sorry to say. Music.
No. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, pretty much. So we'll get this out of the way really quickly. Let's see here. What's this stupid... Lauren. Yeah, Kim Raver as Lauren Fitch. the only thing she's... she was Audrey from 24. That's what she was. Yeah, I barely recognized her, honestly, as that character. I did not... Like, I'm like, who is this woman? Like, I thought it was somebody new, honestly. I did not even recognize her as being Audrey. And, of course, it's been years since I've seen the original 24. But, yeah, that character can go to hell. First five episodes, overall thoughts, and then we'll get out of here.
First five, like I said, I loved it. The fifth one, like I said, is probably the weakest for me personally. I'm on for the full long haul for with this show. And I was like looking on the wiki here. You realize that they are only one cyborg cop removed from this being COPS, Central Organization of Police Specialists.
Yeah, they annotate, if you want more, go see COPS. Yeah, that's
already got Bowser and Blitz and Brandt and Zingo, so I mean, it's not that far off.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ernie Hudson could be BP Vess, I'm just saying.
No, he's not. Ernie is not bulletproof. No.
you don't know that. He could be bulletproof.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, no, I love this show. I love the first five episodes. You know, long may it rain.
Yes. Speaking of which, Ada, that's the only other thing I noticed her from was Rain. I don't even watch that show. All right, because originally when I saw it, I thought it was I thought it was Willa Ford from Arrow, and I was like, no, she wouldn't jump shows like that. Coming up on Remote Control, I have no idea. We may take a week off until Art gets back because I think he said he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. So Riverdale will happen in 2 weeks, I guess. I'm not sure what else is going to go on. Where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at JT from Saskatoon.
You can follow at TFU and Mike for me, at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates there, and then at This Week in Geek for all those network updates. And tune in next time, folks, when we will all be fighting over the remote control.
Hook up a camera like this to a microscopic transmitter.
That's a camera.
It's from Reeves Medical. It's used for surgery. And then we hide it with a small microphone and a piece of clothing, like maybe a button, right? Would that work?
Sounds all right.
Cool. And then we just have to get the video and the audio to the transmitter. Pete, what's the smallest wire that could handle that much data?
Probably something like this.
That's too big. I mean, they'll find that.
We're talking 7 minutes of video and a 3-second transfer. It's like running the Chicago River through a garden hose.
Pete. When a woman tells you size matters, it's best to stop arguing.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What do you think you're regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. Let's see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect. But where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P-Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
Alrighty, I spy with my HD eye.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
The Pull Bag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your hosts, TFGO and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pull Bag, you'll also find back-issue classics, origins episodes of How We Get Into Comics, and our general comic discussions will all be held after dark. You can find The Pull Bag every Wednesday in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into The Pull Bag today!
It's true, Batsy. I know everything. And kind of like the kid who peeks at his Christmas presents, I must admit, it's sadly anticlimactic.
Thank you for tuning into Remote Control. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Remote Control, and wish that you'll tune in next time to hear what TV topic we'll be talking about. Get those remotes ready, because we are all remote controlled.